Hello, friends. Have you ever felt like you were missing out in life? Looking for an answer? Well, look no further. The Messengers Radio Show is here to help you fill that hole in your life. www.themessengersradio.com.
We're back.
We're back.
Hey, yay. How's everybody doing? This is Marcus.
And Trisha.
And we are
the Messengers.
We're getting pretty good at that intro,
we
I guess.
We are, I think. It's taken a while, but we're getting there.
Well, today we're bringing you another episode, and we're going to be talking about
being asleep. Yeah. Are you asleep?
So we're going to be talking about it in the physical sense, and we're also going to be talking about it in the physical sense.
The spiritual sense.
Well, what did I say?
Physical.
The physical and the physical. All right.
Physical and spiritual.
Physical and spiritual. There you go.
Okay. Sleep is sweet to the soul. As Proverbs tells us in 3:24, when you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. But when you get too much sleep, it can make you even more tired than you were before. I find that's true with me. I don't always get enough sleep at night, and if I wake up early in the morning, I'm usually fine. But if I lay back down after I wake up, then I sleep too long and my body feels tired. It feels like I'm in limbo. I hate that feeling. Don't you hate that feeling?
Yeah.
It's just, ugh. So God made our bodies to sleep at night and to wake up refreshed and ready to take on a new day. This doesn't always happen anymore because often nowadays people work at night and try to sleep during the day. And I don't want to say that doing that is bad.
No, not
I don't,
at all.
I'm not trying to say that you have to wake up during the day and sleep at night.
There's no biblical stance saying that you have
to. It's just that our bodies get used to that when we do that.
But our bodies do get used to working at night eventually. We'll talk about that here in a second.
Yeah. So Marcus is an early riser. In the job that he had for 15 years, he worked about 65 miles away, and with traffic, it took him about an hour and a half to get to work.
Right.
Yay. Since he had to be there at 7 a.m., he had to leave about 5:30. He usually got up around 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. I am not an early riser, as you can probably tell, since I don't always sleep well at night. He was up and gone before I even knew it. But every morning, what would you do before you leave?
I would kiss you.
You would kiss me.
I'd make sure you were awake, and I'd kiss you, and you'd fall right back to sleep.
But you got the kiss.
That's absolutely right. To me, that's important.
It is.
To kiss my wife before I leave.
Mm-hmm. Every time. Yep. Even if you're just going to the store.
Yep.
Yep. That's a good thing, and I love it. He went to sleep early, though, around 9 p.m. He got about 7 to 8 hours of sleep per night, which is recommended by doctors.
Right. Dr. Seuss.
Dr. Seuss. But then he got a new job working at night. He went in at about 4 p.m. and got off at 12 a.m.
Ugh.
Yikes. Yeah. His body was used to sleeping at night, and he had a hard time trying to sleep during the day. His hours were switched, and his body was not used to that.
That's right.
It was really hard because he would go and work those times, but then he would come home and sleep, but he was used to getting up early in the morning, so
I'd get up early in the morning still.
Yeah, he'd still get up early, and then he was just tired, so. But I usually go to sleep around 11 p.m. and get up around 8 or 9 when I can.
Right.
I find if I get up around then, I can usually stay awake and be refreshed. But sometimes my body just thinks it doesn't want to stay awake. So I try going back to sleep. However, when I do this, I get too much sleep and it makes me feel drowsy and worn out all day long. I just feel yucky.
Yeah.
Yucky. That is how our physical bodies feel. But what about our spiritual bodies? Do they need sleep?
No.
Even at night, we need to be on our guard. Spiritual battles are taking place while we are asleep, whether we know it or not. So you need to fill your spiritual lamp so you're not stumbling around in the darkness. We have some good examples to back this up.
Absolutely. So first, let's talk about the 10 virgins. And this is in Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13. And we find the 10 women who are waiting for the bridegroom.
Uh-huh. I like this story.
At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil for them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here comes the bridegroom! Come out to meet him!" Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied. "There may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you don't know the day or the hour."
Yeah, that is something I do not want to hear
right.
from God. "Truly I tell you, I don't know you." I don't want to hear that. But this parable is relating the church, the bride, to Christ. They had all fallen asleep, but half of the bride was ready when they were woken up. They may have been physically asleep, but they were ready spiritually. They had oil for their lamps and were ushered in when the door was opened. The other half were unprepared, and Christ told them plainly, "Truly I tell you, I don't know you." Which half are you?
So let's look at another parable also. We're going to be looking at Matthew 26, verses 36 to 46. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell on his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, make this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak."
Mm-hmm.
He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it's not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." And when he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer."
Well, the disciples were human, and Jesus knew that the spirit was willing, but the flesh is weak. He was angry, though, because he knew what was going to happen, and they didn't.
Yeah.
How often do we say, "Just give me a few minutes," to people? How many times do we say it to God?
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've done it.
"I will, God, but just let me..."
Fill in the blank.
Matthew and Luke tell us what Jesus had to say about "just let me..." ...
Right. And it's in Matthew 8:22. "But Jesus told him, 'Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead.'" Also in Luke 9, verse 60, Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God."
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's what we're supposed to do. Jesus will return like a thief in the night, and 1 Thessalonians 5:1 through 11 shows us.
This is the day of the Lord. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that, whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him.
Amen.
Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as, in fact, you are doing.
That's good. And that was Paul to the Thessalonians.
Right. Well, I bet you he would have been awesome to know.
Yeah.
He'd tell it straight to your face of what how it was.
Yeah. No messing around with him. It was all or nothing.
Yep.
This is something that God told me in my journal, in the journals that I write down. When he tells me something, it is usually to all believers. So when we're reading this and it says you, the word you comes up or something, that's for all believers. It's not just for me personally.
So if you're a believer and she says you, That means you. Not just her.
Not just me.
And not just me, but you also.
I find that he doesn't usually work in just ones, you know?
Right.
Like one person, when he does something, it's for everybody.
There are no onesies in heaven, right?
So, this is what he said to me. He said, "Don't be lulled into sleep. My disciples couldn't even stay awake to pray with me when I needed them. But what was done was what had to be done. But I woke them up and gave them another chance to pray, and another. They could not because the flesh is weak, and they didn't have me on the inside like you do. I'm coming for my bride. Will I find her asleep? Will her oil be out? How many chances do I have to give? I need my bride to be fully awake at all times. You can do this. Wake up my bride. She is sleeping, and I need her alive and awake. She needs to be busy in these last hours, not sleeping to be caught off guard when I return. I'm coming soon. I need her. I need you, believers. It will happen when you least expect it, so be on guard at all times. Be ready on a moment's notice. Expect the unexpected."
Right.
It's a little scary and not always easy to do, but, you know, you just gotta expect the unexpected and move on a moment's notice. He's told us that for our personal lives lately.
Right.
Be ready on a moment's notice to walk away and just follow him. Leave everything behind.
Something big is coming.
Something big is coming. So, how do you know if you're awake? Ask God. Are you doing his will? Are you going into all the world and making disciples? Are you following him? Are you talking about him? Are you loving your neighbor enough to save him from hell? Are you speaking his truth at all times? That doesn't mean you only talk about him, but are you talking about him? What can we do? He tells me, "I need you to talk. Tell people. Open up and let me speak. Trust me. Trust me to give you the right words to say when you need to say them." So we need to just open up and ask him what he wants you to do. He has a perfect will for our lives, and he doesn't keep that hidden from us. When we seek his face and ask him what he wants, he is more than happy to tell us. So I would just encourage you to ask, seek, and knock.
Absolutely. So you may be listening to this today, and you don't know what it means to have Jesus on the inside of you. You don't know what that means. You've felt like something's been missing from your life. So at the end of every one of our episodes, we always give a chance for people to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So right now, I want you to know that choosing to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior is the most important decision that you will ever make. It is not something that is going to be temporary. It's an eternal decision. And I can't stress how important this is. It is more important than going to college to get a good job, to buying that car you want, to buying that house you want, to starting a family. It's more important because you need to be in a position where not only do you know where you're going, but you know how to tell other people how to get to heaven as well.
Amen.
So let's see what the Word of God says about receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So let's see what God's Word promises, that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus as your Savior and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with the heart that man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth that confession is made unto salvation. And if you skip down to verse 13 in Romans 10, you'll see this. For whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So by his grace, God has already done everything to provide salvation. You have two things that you must do. You just simply need to believe and receive. So if you're ready to believe and receive the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior right now, I encourage you to pray this out loud. Lord Jesus, I confess that you are my Lord and Savior. I believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead, and by faith in your word, I receive salvation now. Thank you for saving me. Amen.
Amen.
And if you prayed that out loud, I want to encourage you, get in touch with us. You can get in touch with us on our website, themessengersradio.com, and you can click on the contact button on there. Right there will be a little form you can fill out that will email both Tricia and myself, or you can email either of us individually. There's links above that, us individually. So, but we want to encourage you to contact us so that we can help you not only make that you've made the, let us know that you made that decision, but also so we can help get you some more information, because we want you to grow. When you make a decision like this, the devil is going to come against you very hard.
Yes, he will.
And he will make
and
you
quickly.
Think. Yeah, and he will try to make you think that the decision you make was not real, and he will try to talk you out of it.
Mm-hmm. He'll try to steal that blessing.
So we want to make sure that you continue to grow, continue to read the Bible. If you don't have one, we'll send you one. If you need some material to learn how to study the Bible, we'll send you that. But I encourage you, contact us, let us know. So we love you guys, and until next episode.
We will see you later.
That's right.
God bless you.
Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to The Messengers. We are worldwide and alive.